Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Mike McLackey gave us verses 1 through 11, and we're going to continue on with 12, 13, and 14. So please stand with me in honor of God's word. And we're going to start with verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray today that you would use this beautiful passage, these beautiful three verses, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would use these three verses by the power of your Holy Spirit to build up your church today. We pray for each person in this room that you would soften their hearts and help them to hear the message. And we pray for me that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to deliver it accurately. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. The first word in that verse is therefore. And you'll remember, I hope, that the word therefore is always pointing back to a truth you just learned. So we can't understand verses 12, 13, and 14 unless we know what the therefore is referring to. Trinity Baptist Church, when you see the word therefore, you've got to understand what it's referring to in order to understand the verse that it's in. So the first thing we see is therefore. So what truth is that referring to? We've got to know that before we understand verse 12. Mike preached on it earlier, so let's look back at verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is such an important passage. Those 11 verses are so important for your Christian life. You need to read them over and over again. You should memorize these 11 verses if you can, but be sure you understand them. They are absolutely foundational truth for your Christian life. And I'm so glad that Mike explained them to us. Here's an illustration. Next Saturday, two people are going to die. Now, you might think that's weird. But Matt and Janet are going to get married. And this is what's going to happen. Matt is going to come up a single man and walk away a married man. Matt must die to the single life on Saturday. He can no longer live like a single man. In fact, the single Matt dies on his wedding day. Would you say amen to that? Janet is the same. Janet will walk into her wedding as a single lady. And she will say her vows. And I will pronounce them husband and wife. And she will walk away a married woman. The single Janet dies. The Janet we have known at this church for her entire life will die on Saturday. And she leaves a new person, a married woman. She can no longer live as a single lady because that person no longer exists. The same thing happens when you become a Christian. Before you're a Christian, you're a slave to sin. You are spiritually dead. When you were unsaved, sin had power over you and will ultimately lead to your death. But now we have been made new creatures in Christ. We are born again. We are born again. We've been set free from sin and have the power to live a new life. It doesn't mean that we no longer sin, but what it does mean is that sin is no longer our master. We are no longer under its power. Did you know that an unsaved person cannot stop sinning? They're not going to give in to every single temptation. But when you and I were unsaved, sin had power over us. But when we are born again, sin's power is broken. In your notes, I have a quote on the top. When we yield to Christ, this is from F.F. Bruce. When we yield to Christ, our inward being is radically transformed. A new creation takes place. We receive a new nature that delights to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Patrick was up here just now, and he gave his testimony. The old Patrick no longer exists. This is a new creation right here. And the same is true of Megan. And the same is true of you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Now that we understand that truth, look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, therefore, because you are a new creation in Christ, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Reign is the Greek word basileu. It's on the screen, and it means to be king, to reign, to control. When you and I are not Christians, when you and I were not Christians, sin was the king of our lives. It was in control. We lived under its power. Paul made that very clear in Romans chapter 5. If you need to, turn a page back. Otherwise, look with me at Romans 5:14. Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned. Death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of the one to come, who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see how the context explains the passage? We're studying three verses this morning, 12, 13, and 14. But the verses around them and the chapters around them make their meaning very clear. And when you study the Bible, you take it in context. If you want to know what Romans 6, 12 through 14 means, you read Romans. Without Christ, sin and death reigned over us. Now there's been a change of kings. We've been united to Christ. There's a new king over your life. It is no longer sin, it is grace. And Paul says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Why would you let sin reign if it has been dethroned by Christ? Why would you continue to serve your old master? We now have the awesome God-given privilege to exercise our freedom from sin. That's brand new if you're a Christian. What does it look like to let sin reign in your mortal body? Look at verse 12 again. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Patrick was in the Marines. He had a drill sergeant. Correct? Drill instructor. Very well. He had a drill instructor. This guy was in charge of him. He had power over him. He had authority over him. He told you when to wake up and when to go to bed and when to eat and when to do all this stuff, correct? Are you out of the Marines now? Okay, if the drill instructor rocks in here and tells you, hey, you don't need to be listening to this fool, you need to come outside and dig a ditch, are you going to obey him? You're absolutely not, because he no longer has authority in your life anymore, amen? Sin is the same. Sin is the same. When we listen to our self-centered, selfish pleasures and desires, we're giving sin control. We're allowing it to reign, and we don't have to anymore. We've been set free. Trinity Baptist, we hate sin, don't we? Sin is what ruins my life. Sin is what brings sorrow and guilt and regret and despair. We hate sin. And I am so glad that I do not have to listen to it anymore. I still do. I still do. And so do you. but I don't have to. We have a privilege that no non-Christian has. We have the privilege to walk away from it. Number one in your notes. Since we are dead to sin and alive to God, we must not let sin reign in us. We must not let sin reign in us. Look at verse 13 with me. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Paul says, do not go on presenting the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness. What is an instrument? An instrument is nothing more than a tool. It's a tool. It's a device to be used for something. It could be a weapon. It could be armor. It could be a tool. When I present my body to sin, I am allowing my body to be a tool for the purpose of sinning. When we present our bodies to sin, that's what we're doing. We're presenting our bodies to sin. And Paul says, stop presenting your body to sin. Look what he says in Romans 6:16. Romans 6:16. We'll be studying this next week. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Paul says, you used to present your bodies to sin, but that is no longer necessary. Trinity Baptist, why do we continue to do that? Why do I? Why do you? It's no longer necessary. It doesn't make any sense. What should we do instead? It's in verse 13. Take a look. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Instead of presenting ourselves to sin, we now have the freedom and the power and the joy to present ourselves to God. Romans 12:1, behind me on the screen. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You've read that verse before, I assume. But did you ever realize that an unsaved person cannot do that? It's our privilege. It's the privilege that we've been given as Christians. Non-Christians are dead in sin. Sin is the controlling influence of their lives. They will never defeat it. That's why my friends are going to Japan. Because Jesus is the only hope for the Japanese people. Sin will destroy their lives, and they will never defeat it. But in Christ, in Christ. Because of our relationship with Christ, we now have the privilege and power to present ourselves to God. And we can enjoy the awesome, life-giving freedom of living for Jesus. Why? Why can we do that? What is it about us that gives us the power to do that, that a non-Christian can't do it? Look at verse 13. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. And that's the key. We're alive from the dead. When you're not saved, you're dead in sin. But we are no longer dead in sin. We are alive in Christ. Paul says that in Ephesians. Would you keep a bookmark in Romans and join me in Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Number two in your notes. Since we are dead to sin and alive to God, we must stop presenting ourselves as instruments of sin. We must stop presenting ourselves as instruments of sin. Sin, Trinity Baptist Church, shall not be your master. Why? Look at verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. To be master over is the Greek word behind me on the screen, kyrio, kyrio. It's from kyrios. Kyrios means Lord, and kyrio means to be Lord over someone, to have dominion over them. Jesus was talking about leadership, and he says the Pharisees lord it over people. And that's the Greek word kyriou, to be lord over someone. This is an incredible verse, Trinity Baptist, because sin ruins our lives, amen? Sin is what ruins our lives. It ruins your joy, it ruins your peace, it ruins your family, it ruins you. That's why we come to Christ. To be set free from it. And Paul says this awesome thing. He says, sin shall not be your master. And I would say that verse 14 is the most important verse in the passage. If you just take 12 and 13 and you don't have 14, then it's just works. Paul says, don't let sin reign in your body. Stop presenting yourself to sin. If he stops there, he's just shaking his finger at you saying, stop doing that. But you have 14. You're no longer under law, but under grace. Without Christ, you can't stop doing that. Without Christ, you can't stop presenting yourselves to sin. Without Christ, you can't stop letting sin reign in your mortal body. And giving you law only doesn't help you at all. In fact, Paul says in Romans 7 that I tried so hard to obey the law, but I found another law at work in me, making me a prisoner of the whole thing. And if I just stand up here and say, Trinity Baptist Church, stop sinning, I haven't helped you at all. Because without the gospel, you simply won't stop. But the good news is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the man that Patrick read about in his Gideon Bible. John 1:17 behind me on the screen. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We're no longer under law, we're under grace. We've been born again. And by being born again, sin's power is broken, and we have everything we need from Jesus to live a godly life. So, Trinity Baptist, stop living the old life. It's no longer necessary. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to understand the truth of the gospel and live in the freedom that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.